Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Steve, I've got Matt Kolsky riding shotgun with me today. It's wonderful to have you in. Thanks so much for joining us. Great win, fun game, happiness after beating Houston. I like that formula. You should do that again, huh?
I think so. Why not?
That was fantastic. It was good. It was a nail biter. It kind of woke everybody up. I mean, I just saw a bounciness to your team. And I'm just going to say, you know, when I threw out that start Andre Iguodala suggestion, it's nice to know that you're listening to that.
Yeah, I turned on your show because I really had no idea what to do. As soon as you said that, I thought, oh, my God, he's right. So thank you for the suggestion.
Well, it's me. It's the video guy from a few years ago. You know, we're here to help, Steve. We really are.
Everybody gets credit.
All right, Steve, I don't want to get you in trouble here, and I know this is a thing. I certainly don't want to cost you any money. So I'm going to speak about my view of what I saw on Wednesday night. And basically, that is James Harden and Chris Paul doing a lot of things specifically to get foul calls and, in the process, being in the referee's ear the entire game. And I think, as a result, getting some of those calls that I would say they didn't necessarily deserve. Meanwhile, on the other side, every night I watch a two-time MVP never complain, get bounced around the court, and seemingly not get calls. I'm curious, especially since carping at the referees has been a topic around here lately, what is a guy like Steph Curry supposed to do to get the calls that other stars in the league get, since being respectful doesn't seem to work?
First of all, I love the fact that you're coming in firing, Matt. That is awesome. I mean, no holds barred. Let's just, first question, let's fire on the officials. Let's go.
I got another one about player empowerment, if you really want to get.
Okay, sure. Well, honestly, it's one of the challenges of playing Houston. You know, Paul and Harden are as good as anybody in the league at creating fouls and drawing contact. And, you know, the one that we know Chris is going to go for is at the end of every quarter, as soon as they're in the bonus, as soon as they have four fouls, if he's holding the ball and you're anywhere near him, he's just going to swipe underneath you, and it's an automatic foul. And so Alphonso McKinney was guarding him, I think, for the first time in his career the other night. And even though we warned him, you know, he still got his hand in there. Chris did the usual thing, two free throws. So it's a learning experience. It is infuriating, but it's just the way it's called. So we have to respect that and just keep playing.
Steve, I'll walk you back down the find the head coach mountain that Matt wanted to walk you up there. let me just ask about DeMarcus's big night. Was there any sort of a pregame letter rip conversation with him? Because he was razor sharp, and it looked like he just he had been given the marching orders to just, you know, when you're out there, you're running this. And if that's the absence of Durant being out there to be a playmaker, like, fill that void, be that guy. And he certainly was.
Yeah, there was no conversation at all. It was just DeMarcus going out and playing probably his best game of the year. I do think some of it had to do with Kevin's absence. You know, DeMarcus just ended up with the ball in his hands a lot more. And the way they have always guarded us, Houston, with all that switching, it made perfect sense to go in there and force some of their smaller guys to have to guard him and keep spaced around him, keep moving. And it was a different look in our rivalry with Houston. It's the first time we've ever really been able to play that style. So it was very effective. He controlled the game. And then, you know, the other stuff was the defense at the other end, the box outs. It was probably our best rebounding game that I can remember all year in terms of just never letting anybody slide in for a rebound. We boxed out every possession. It was fantastic.
Well, it's pretty amazing how the big man puts the ball on the floor, too. And he really does, whether it's a pass, sometimes a shot, a little floater off the backboard. He's got a feathery touch about him.
Beautiful touch. You know, he's a great shooter. I think this was maybe his 19th or 20th game with us. So you've got to remember it's still really early in the process, and we're still figuring out, you know, the best spots to put him in and best combinations. And we changed the rotation up for that game with Kevin's absence, and I think found some things that worked. Hopefully that'll keep keep going. But, you know, we have another 15 games to work with in the regular season to try to fine-tune everything. And I thought that was a really good step for us the other night.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. Was that a message sent to Houston, or is that a more important message for your own team?
Yeah, I'm not a huge believer in the whole message thing. I think it's more about taking care of your own business and how you're playing. And I think it was a really solid game where everybody locked in. You know, Draymond even said it after the game. Everybody, coaches, players, like everybody, you could feel the energy, the just the attention to detail, and you know, every time out, we were everyone was locked in. So that was more than anything just a test for ourselves in terms of our own standards for our play.
All right, I'm now going to ask a personal favor, Steve, after the obnoxious first question, and that is I am a huge, huge Sean Livingston guy because he was a few years behind me in high school, and one of the things he did in high school, among many incredible things, was just dunk all over my high school a lot to the point where I was enchanted by him. Obviously, I think he's admitted, anyone can see, it hasn't been his best year. But I thought, especially after Wednesday night, when I look at the box score and I see Sean Livingston, 18 minutes, 1-for-4, 2 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound, nothing exceptional except he's plus 16. And I have seen a lot of people criticizing a down year for Sean Livingston. So I'm wondering if you can help us identify what the things he's doing that are not in the box score other than the plus 16.
Well, he made a great play. He made a bunch of great plays in that game, one of which was right in front of our bench. I think it was mid-second quarter. We were on a good little run. He made a post feed. Clay took a nice cut to the basket, and Sean just kind of followed him and set a screen on Clay's man. Clay popped back out to the top of the key and made a three. So in that sequence, Sean doesn't get an assist or any points, but we get 3 points because he knows exactly what he's looking at. So Sean reminds me a lot of Andre. You know, he just knows the game so well. He feels it, he sees it. And I think the other night he had a bigger responsibility because with Kevin out, when Sean was in, he was really the primary ball handler. And so I thought it gave him a chance to be more that pure point guard that he's always been. Whereas sometimes with our team, with all the guys who are so talented, Sean plays off the ball, and you know, he's more of an on-ball point guard type, and so that game felt very comfortable for him, I thought.
Steve, is Kevon Looney your secret weapon against James Harden?
He's just a tremendous defender on the perimeter against ISO guards. I mean, he's as good as anybody in the league, and it's become a much-needed skill set in this league, given what everybody's doing. There's so many perimeter players who are going to attack, and so Loon's as good as anybody. Just staying in front, not fouling, being smart, taking away angles, and I thought he was fantastic.
Have you been huddling up extra with Ron Adams in the past couple days? Spend a little extra time looking at film with him. I know that, you know, you and Draymond obviously had the back and forth. There wasn't a back and forth. And I tell you, the fact that both of you guys put that away like the grown men that you are was just fantastic. Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. But Ron Adams, you know, is a guy that I think is either great at hiding his frustrations at times, or he's slapping the hell out of his thighs at times. How's Ron doing?
He's fine. He's fine. Well, it's one of our favorite pastimes is watching the game tape and just seeing Ron's reaction when the other team scores. I mean, he does like the full slump in the chair. He does the full head snap back like somebody punched him.
Like Harden.
Sometimes, yeah, like Harden. Sometimes the combination of the two, you know, head snaps back, slumps in the chair. You know, we've joked with him that we've a couple times this year we've worried that he actually died during the game. You know, we have a lot of fun with Ron and his theatrics on the sidelines when the other team scores.
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you got to get a super cut of that where you like edit in a little cartoon with a shotgun so that you could just have a series of violent Ron Adams deaths on video.
The sideline interaction that you're talking about, I want to extend that to what happened in Utah and Russell Westbrook and a Jazz fan. I thought the Jazz came down big, suspending the fan from this year that got out of line. They also saw some footage and suspended a fan from the last playoffs who got out of line. Steve, was this a big moment for the NBA? And are the Utah Jazz actually going to come out of this looking like heroes?
I think it was. I don't think it was like a seminal moment because I don't think this is very common, to be honest with you. I mean, fans are always talking trash, but it's a totally different deal, talking trash and, you know, yelling hate-filled profanity. I mean, two totally different things. And I'll be honest, in my 5 years, you know, as coach of the Warriors, I've never heard anything like that, you know, that was racially toned and bigoted and really hateful. Never anything like that. So to me, it's the exception rather than the rule. I hope I'm right on that. But I thought the Jazz handled it beautifully. Donovan Mitchell handled it really well. And hopefully we just move on and the passion doesn't get swept away in this kind of stuff. This was really ugly.
It feels like 99% of the fans never crossed that imaginary line. You know, I look at this whole thing going down, and there's no doubt that we spotlight, we microscope things, and we bring so much attention to the negative that you'd think it outweighs the good. But like you just said, you really routinely don't hear things that make you go like, wow, that's pushing it.
No. I mean, the closest thing when we were here for Kevin's first trip in Oklahoma City, and that got a little ugly, but nothing like what we heard in the Westbrook video. So, that was I thought the exception, as I said, rather than the rule.
I want to dig in on one coaching thing that I've now heard you mention a couple times after the game on Wednesday and just a couple minutes ago. As far as, I think the way you put it on Wednesday was Kevin being out did sort of allow you to discover something with DeMarcus and a particular way to use him that was both A, because you have one less frequent ball handler on the floor, and I think you also said you staggered DeMarcus's minutes with Draymond. And I'm wondering, when something like that happens, do you feel like that's something that now that Kevin returns, it's instructive and you can still use those new things you've learned when Kevin's back? Or is that more a break glass in case of emergency and we don't have Durant, then we go back to that?
No, I think it's something we learned. And, you know, the thing to remember, Matt, is that the last few years we've kind of played one way, which is, you know, warp speed, firing three-pointers, not a whole lot of time spent. If we had a good shot, we've launched it. But now with DeMarcus, we can win a game a different way. You know, we can win with our ground game instead of throwing the ball every time, if that's the right metaphor. And even when Kevin's back, you know, if we're in a game where we feel like the shots aren't going, we're not in a good rhythm, well, in the past, we would just keep firing. Now I think we have an option to dump the ball inside and slow things down a little bit, take advantage of a mismatch down there. So it's really another option for us in our offense.
Steve, will Durant play tomorrow?
I would say it's doubtful. You know, he's officially questionable, so I guess that's the word I should use. But
you're downgrading him.
I'm downgrading him to doubtful. I just think that given the nature of the ankle, I think giving him a couple of extra days makes too much sense, especially, you know, at this stage of the season. If this were a playoff game, for sure he'd be playing. We want to be extra cautious, so I'm guessing San Antonio will be his first game back, but we'll see how he feels tomorrow. It's up to him and to Rick tomorrow after shoot-around.
I'm sure it's a game he wants to play in. Your only trip to Oklahoma City, I don't know how the scheduling wrinkle – I mean, does the NBA not understand what they gave up? I mean, there should be two games at Oklahoma City. Jeez.
Right. I don't know how that works. I would guess there's some kind of a rotating formula where, you know, the divisional teams are matching up with other divisions. But I've never actually passed them before, so I have no idea.
You're going to get a couple of back-to-backs Monday, Tuesday next week. Anyone due for a little load management?
Probably. You know, we haven't played DeMarcus in any back-to-backs this year, and I don't know that we will. I'm not sure we need to. So there's a chance he could take a rest. There's always a chance with Sean, Andre, just given their age. And assuming that Kevin is back then, you know, we'd be able to mix and match and still be able to, you know, to put out enough guys and have enough depth to help us win a game. So we'll see. I think it's something that more than likely will happen, though.
I think a lot around this team gets made of the vibe, and we're constantly questioning these sorts of things, I think probably in part because it's hard to question the basketball. But it seemed like, especially Wednesday, vibe really good, people feeling happy. And one thing we've talked about on the show is whether being out on the road, having the guys on planes and spending more time together and less distractions actually can kind of help the vibe of a team. Do you feel like that is potentially happening here?
Yeah, I do. And I think winning does that too. You know, especially a game like where, you know, we got a team that is one of the best in the conference. You know, great playoff series last year. So you get out on the road, that's helpful. You're just spending a lot of time together. But then you win a game like that, and it's sort of galvanizing, and everybody just feels good. So the trick now is to put it together, you know, where we can put, you know, string 3, 4, 5 games like that in a row and really get some momentum. And that's what we're shooting for.
Steve, most important question I've ever asked you. Who's in charge of shaving Iguodala's head?
I certainly hope that would be Andre.
I would hope so, too. But if you think about it, I mean, it feels like a pregame ceremony that you guys could start implementing. Let everybody lock in, shave Iguodala, and then go play.
I like it. I hear there's a barbershop at the Chase Center, honestly. I heard that. I don't know if it's true or not.
I heard that, too. That there's going to be a barbershop in there. Anything special go down for Steph Curry's birthday?
He had a great day. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not at liberty to tell you exactly what he did. I'm just going to say he had a fantastic day.
Have you played the jingle for him yet? First name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life, now everything is less blurry. Little pregame Curry jingle?
Probably. We'll probably do that tomorrow night. Get him really fired up.
I mean, how could you lose if you do that? Steve, thank you very, very much. Always good to talk to you. Have you left Houston yet? Are you in OKC? I think you stayed an extra day to practice, right?
Yeah, we are in OKC now. We got a team dinner tonight. Just trying to get some rest, relax, and be ready to play tomorrow.
Enjoy yourself, man. Selection Sunday coming up. Brackets ready to go. We'll talk about that next week.
Thanks, Damon. See you, Matt.
Later.